Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. You know, the Lord doesn't want us to play religious games. He just wants us to be real. That's all. If you're sad, be sad. If you're happy, be happy. If you're struggling, say so. Don't hide it. God loves the lullaby of a mother's tears in the dead of night better than a hallelujah sometimes. God loves a drunkard's cry, soldier's plea just to keep him alive better than a hallelujah sometimes. We pour out our misery, God just hears a melody. Beautiful the mess we are, the honest cries of breaking hearts. Better than a hallelujah. Woman holding on for life, an old man giving up the fight, is better than a hallelujah sometimes. Tears of shame for what's been done, the silence when the words won't come, are better than a hallelujah sometimes. We pour out our misery, God just hears a melody. Beautiful the mess we are, the honest cries of breaking hearts. Better than a hallelujah. Better than a church bell ringing. Better than a choir singing out. Singing out. Misery, and God just hears a melody. Beautiful the mess we are, the honest cries of breaking hearts. Better than a hallelujah. It's a song that Morgan Cryer gave me years ago. Rest here. I know that you've been through an awful storm. I was with you. Don't fear. I'll sit right here beside you and no harm will befall you. We both know you must soon be on your way again. The path is steep, the way not always clear. I'll wake you when it's time to go, my weary friend. You'll be up again. Rest here, just lay that heavy burden at my feet. I'll never leave you. Rest here, I'll watch all your worries while you sleep. and I will watch you too. I see you've got a wound or two we'll have to tend, but surely nothing time and grace won't heal. So just be still and let me get to work, my friend. You'll be up again. Rest here, you could face your biggest battle yet, but I'll fight for you. Rest here, just gather up your strength, but don't you fret, 'cause I'm right beside you. Though testing and temptation lurk along the way, though you may stumble, I've prayed for you. And though new struggles seem to grow up every day, I will guard your way. So for today, rest here. Rest here. Thanks.
All righty, Romans chapter 3. You ever been on an IV? I mean, they're not a big deal. They're not a big deal until they're going to take it out. And it's not because they're going to take that little needle out of your vein. It's because those nurses use about 14 rolls of tape to secure that thing to make sure that it doesn't fall out. You've been there. You've done that. That hasn't happened to me a lot of times, but I'll tell you what. It seems wherever I had hair is where they put the tape. And the first person that tried to remove it on me last time was this sweet little nurse that came in and said, "Oh, I know this hurts, and I'm really sorry." And she was, peeling it off, and it hurt. So this older nurse comes in and says, "Honey, there's only one way to deal with it, and that's just rip it off fast." And I screamed for a couple minutes, and it was done. You got to rip it off, right? It's the only way to take off a bandage or anything. Well, the Bible tells us the truth about everything. And everything that it says, it's true. And when it talks to us about the human condition, it tells us the truth. And that's not very much fun, especially now in a culture where everybody gets a prize if you play a game. Everybody gets a trophy. Nobody loses. Everybody wins. I wish the real world was like that. But it's not. And the Bible talks about this human condition that we have, Romans chapter 3. I'm going to read the last little statement of verse 22 and then verse 23 and 24. Listen to this. "There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." Yeah, we're talking about sin. Where I grew up in a fundamentalist Baptist group. Well, I grew up in the Presbyterian church. And then I ended up in a fundamentalist Baptist group. And those guys never said sin. They always made it two syllables. Sin. You ever see that? They make it two syllables just to make sure you get what they're talking about. And they would do what my friend Aaron calls, they would persecute the saints and just beat them up over it. I don't want to do that to you, but the best way to deal with this is just rip the bandage off. Do you know, I was reading an article this week about deformities among the Amish because of their inbreeding staying such a closed group. And they were talking about, physical problems because of it. They're also inbreeding bipolar, mental disease, and some other things because of that. But we're all inbred. All of us have a deformity, all of us. Sin is actually the condition that we all have. That's a deformity of the real human race. It's found at every point in every person. In fact, the simple definition of it you've heard before, sin simply means to miss the mark, to miss the target that God has put up for us. He's the one that states what's healthy and right and good. And we're the ones who desire to fight God and try to play God in our lives. So if this is all new for you and you're just now hearing about this whole thing about a loving God who, even though we were messed up, sent his son to die for our sins and be resurrected and all that, or if you're a Christian who you've become a believer but you're still struggling with you, there's some things we need to face because sin is a reality. Let me give you three simple things. Number one, don't dismiss it. Number two, don't underestimate it. Here's my favorite point. Number three, don't waste it. Let's just start simply by this. Listen, if you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, and you got somebody telling you that you're a sinner and that you're lost, you can't dismiss that. The Bible is really very clear. You know, the Bible refers to it over 15,000 times. If God gives it that much press, there's something here that we need to pay attention to. And it's really interesting. There is no difference. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I love that there is no difference, because so often you'll get somebody who thinks they're better than other people because maybe they haven't done what that person's done. Maybe it's more public than their own personal struggles. And it says, for there is no difference, for all have sinned. Our name's in that list, for all. That all mean you, okay? You know what I mean? So it's tough. Let me just read you a couple of difficult things. Jesus said, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. You know, we all want to dwell on the incredible statements of love, but this is a great statement of love because he's telling us the truth. Wide is that road that goes the wrong way, right? It was the Apostle Paul, when speaking to the philosophers in Mars Hill in Athens in the first century, tells them all about the real God and what he's like. But then what freaked them all out is when he said this: God commands all people to repent, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. That is, of course, Jesus, as he's talking about. He has given proof of this to all people by raising him from the dead. Our sin's a deal that has to be dealt with better now than later, right? Time goes quickly. You'll never know how quickly it goes. If you want to look in my wallet this week, you won't see much money, but you will see one thing that I wish wasn't there: a Medicare card that arrived this week. That is wrong, people. Oh, it bugs me. I'm not going to act like it doesn't bother me. I used to act like it didn't bother me when my hair turned gray. I always used to say, better it turned gray than loose, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Now, this bugs me, I'm telling you. So that's supposed to be something my dad has in his wallet that I fish out for his doctor's appointments when I take him, you know. Not for me. Time's rolling quickly. It goes quickly. And we're headed in a direction. History is moving in a direction. And the direction, according to the revelation of the true and living God, is we're moving toward a day of judgment. And you don't have to stand before God to be judged, because he has made a way out. You know, one of the most dangerous things about going to college, what I love about college students, they think they know everything after the first semester. That's dangerous, because they're about to be incredibly humbled by life. But there's something else. Everybody that goes to college, you get all these companies that want to give you a credit card. All of them give you a credit card. And of course, you feel special. And of course, in our almost cashless society anymore, we feel important when we pull a card out and don't have to look at the money being counted out. I noticed something about paying for cash on things. You see greenbacks going away. I think it's pretty good. Wait a minute. That's too much. No, I'm not buying that. You know, it's kind of a good deterrent to actually use cash. But the kids, you get a credit card. You know what they say? Charge, right? You know what I mean? And that works really well for 30 days. And then a bill comes. And if you don't pay that sucker, you're going to be paying 20-some percent interest. By the way, that's what the mafia used to charge in the 50s. Okay? And now it's legal. And we hook a bunch of kids into debt, and we get them in a whole bunch of student loan debt, and it's like they're never going to escape. Debt is a very difficult thing, because there will be a day when the bill has to be paid. He was born in 1886. He died in 1976. I met him in 1973. His name was R.G. Lee. He was a sweet old man, old Baptist preacher. And when he had first started, he wasn't very good. And his deacons gathered together and said, "Pastor, look, you're a nice man and all that, but you're a terrible preacher. And if you don't get better, we're going to have to look somewhere else. We can't take it anymore." So he really started working on it, and he came up with one of the great all-time sermons. You should listen to it on the web. It's not an easy subject, but it's simply, the title of the sermon is Payday Someday, about the wicked king Ahab and his wife Jezebel in the history of Israel. Incredible, incredible sermon. The fact of the matter is this: there is a payday someday. We're going to have to face this. So if you're just now listening to this Jesus stuff, or if you've listened for a long time and want to poo-poo it because it's so politically incorrect in our day, be careful. And listen, I can tell you this too. You've been warned. You're going to have to stand in front of them someday. So you got a decision to make. So don't dismiss it. That's the worst thing you can do. Ever seen people, the bills would come and they would throw them away and act like they don't exist until they take your house, right? It gets pretty scary. You can't do that. Don't dismiss it. Nowadays, I love walking in the dark at night. I take the wonderful, precious, the wonder dog out for a walk. Sometimes 1, 2, sometimes 3 in the morning. And I'll go walking. I love walking in the dark. When I lived on Ruth Street, I did not like walking in the dark. I would come home from Johnny Clancy's house or Michael Andonian. We'd be playing, you know, and it gets, you know, in the wintertime, it gets dark about dinner time. And well, anyhow, we'd go down to my friend's house and play, and it would be dark. And I'd have to walk down Ruth Street alone in the dark. So I would trick myself. I would sing. And it was usually a Ricky Nelson song, something like that. The Beatles came a little bit later. But, there was something like that, maybe a Four Seasons song. So I would just sing, you know. Or I would whistle. I'm not a very good whistler, but I whistle all the time. So I would do those things to try to make myself feel comforted until I got home. People do that spiritually all the time. They try to say, "Oh, we'll be together when this life is over." Like, what's that based on, man? Well, I just think we will. Really? Really? You're going to hang your hat on nothing, on just your idea? Or are you going to do it God's way? You got the choice, man. And listen, saying that kind of stuff is nice and it comforts people at the moment. But I just need to tell you, it's whistling in the dark, man. I talk to my atheist friends and they're so proud of themselves that they're standing fearless against what's ever ahead. You're not fearless. Quit pretending. You're scared like everybody else. And I got an answer for you. Don't dismiss it. Let me give you a second one, okay? It's going to get better in a minute, really. Keep ripping the bandage off. We're going to get there. Don't underestimate it. Now, if you're a Christian, one of the things is that, you know, you're still going to be a sinner until the day you die. Now, the Lord is making us better. I'm better than I used to be, but I got a long way to go, and you do too. Now, listen, if we think just because Jesus has forgiven us that it doesn't matter, you're deceived about that. And you don't need to underestimate this, because the power of sin in our lives is a great and powerful thing. I mean, Jesus talks about it in many different ways. He talked about the problem of unforgiveness in our hearts as Christians, as unforgiveness. You remember the parable that he told in Matthew chapter 18? In Matthew 18, he told the story of a servant who'd been forgiven of everything, and then that servant went and found some guy that owed him 20 bucks and had him thrown in prison because he couldn't pay the 20 bucks he owed him. And when the master found out about it, he turned that servant over to the torturers. Now, what that means is that it hurts you. When Jesus tells a parable, this wasn't a literal story. It was a story to emphasize a point, and that is, if you have been forgiven and you don't forgive, you're going to be tormented by it. Oh, man, that's powerful stuff. It's the whole idea of not being able to move forward. You know, Jesus said, if you don't forgive your brother, the Lord won't forgive you. The whole idea of it kind of shuts off our relationship with God. We don't stop being his child, but we stop our growth and our development. It's really powerful stuff. And then the whole idea of bitterness and gossip, among Christian people is such a difficult thing. The writer of Hebrews talks about it, that if a root of bitterness springs up and defiles many, it's affecting so many different people. Our sin hurts so many people. Debbie and I were at a memorial service for our friend yesterday, and it was really a precious time. And I'll tell you why. There were some bitter divorces in this family, bitter divorces. And this young woman, I say young, she was in her 60s, she died. And her ex-husband got up and talked about how my friend's current husband treated him so kindly. And he feels like this new widowed husband is his brother, that he loves him. And he's so grateful for the kindness and mercy they've shown him, in spite of the difficulties in their lives. Let me tell you something. If a church would get half of that, it'd be a revival that would never end. We hold so much junk against other people. Sin is a tough thing. Other sin. I mean, we can just go on and on with the list in the Bible. I want you to know something else about the power of sin, though. It can become generational. You need to deal with it now, because the tendency of your kids to develop that same tendency is so prevalent. Young men need to learn how to treat others and how to treat women by the way their dad treats their mother. Guys, we need to learn to treat our girls like queens, because they deserve it and because our children are watching. Make them gentlemen. I mean, it becomes generational. There's so many young guys I know, young girls that I know, that come into counseling, and they come into counseling, and their struggles are because their mother or dad or their grandparents had that same struggle. And I've had so many people come into my office and say, Tommy, it's got to end now in my family. That has to end. That generational thing has to end right here, because it's powerful and it's difficult. And not only that, it's powerful because we don't become what God intends us to become. And people, our brothers and sisters in Christ, our families, our communities need us to become what God intended us to become. They need us. And if we don't become what God intended us to become, everyone is poorer because of it. Don't dismiss it. Don't underestimate it. But the really good news is this. Don't waste it. I stole that statement from my friend Steve Brown. Steve was teaching at the Billy Graham Training Center, you know, the Cove in Montreat, North Carolina, just outside of Asheville. And the way they listed this thing on the brochures, you know, the Graham people never make mistakes. You know, they're pretty perfect out there. And they listed it, don't waste your sin with Steve Brown. It said, okay. And I thought that was funny. Don't waste your sin with Steve Brown. Well, you know, I thought that was funny. It stuck with me, and I'm using his point. Listen, if you don't know Christ, don't waste the fact that you're lost and that you're a sinner. Because Jesus came to save sinners. He said, I have come to seek and to save those who are lost. That is really, really good news. In fact, the verse 24 of Romans chapter 3, we are all sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified, get this, freely by his grace. Grace means to get what you don't deserve, right? Through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. This is really good news. Listen, if you're a sinner, don't waste the fact. Act on it. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Gosh, that's a great promise. And it's true. Run to him. Don't kick against it anymore. Go to him. It can be dealt with. This wonderful, loving God made a way, but that way only comes through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on a cross. Not by you trying to be a good person or saying nice things. It's by repenting, turning around in your mind and agreeing with him and inviting him to be your Savior. It is so true. And it's like is said so many times, is this isn't earned, it's received, it's a gift. Come to me, he says. And how will he respond? Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. I mean, your life might be a mess. You might be just trying to cover stuff up by trying to disavow this whole thing of sin. But I'm telling you, don't do it anymore. Just run to him, okay? He's primed and ready for you. He's dealt with all of our shame and sin on a cross so long ago. Go meet him at the foot of that cross. And how will he respond to those of us who just let sin run free in our lives even after we've trusted him? Listen, do you remember the story of the prodigal son? He never stopped being his father's son. But what did happen was that the father watched for him to come home every day, all day long. And when he finally came to his senses in that story, and he said, I'm going to go home. I'm going to starve to death. This is killing me out here. He goes home, and while he was yet a long way off, his father saw him and ran to him and fell on his neck, that idea of that deep hug, and he kissed him. And so he bring out a robe and put on him, give him some new shoes, and give him my signet ring. He's my son. He has my authority. That kind of love is incredible. So if you're hiding out because of your own struggles and because of your failures, don't do that. Run to him. Run. You're already his child. And don't try to hold out. David tried that. David had fallen with Bathsheba, and it was a mess. And man, what an awful thing. We all know the story. But you know, when he tried to hold out and act like nothing was wrong, in Psalm 32, the first five verses, he talks about what was going on, how God's hand was heavy on him. And when he kept silent, my bones wasted away within me. Listen, don't hold on to this anymore. You're only turning it inward to hurt yourself. Run to him. He loves you. He loves you more than you can ever know. So listen, your sin's real. Don't dismiss it. Our sin is powerful, and so we can't underestimate it. But listen, it's a great opportunity. Don't waste it. You run to him. Let's stand together to pray, shall we? Come on. You know, I want to give you an opportunity. If you don't know where you stand with the Lord, and he's dealing with you on the inside about all this right now, then you just simply need to turn to him. Turn to him and say to him, Lord, I agree. I really am a sinner, and I see that I need you to be my Savior. Come into my life. I surrender it to you. Forgive me. Birth me into your family. I believe that you died for my sins and that, Jesus, you were raised from the dead. So here I am. Lord Jesus, it is so simple. I remember the tax collector. All he had to say was, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That was all. Lord, we open our hearts to you today and for your people. You know the attitudes that we carry around that are all based in the whole stronghold in our life of unforgiveness. We ask that you will help us to let this junk go. You have forgiven us. We have no right to hold it against anyone else. Thank you for your great forgiveness. We ask for your forgiveness of your people and that you would cleanse us and help us. Thank you for our time together today, Lord. We simply want to be in the midst of your will. Thank you for your word, and this stuff is difficult, but thank you for the great and awesome truth of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.